Okay, two. Three. All right, if you go ahead and find your seat. Hey, Aylor, we might need to hit some of those shades. You want me to switch, try the other mic? All right, how's that? No? You can still hear me? Yeah, I knew you were thinking, Dean. Boy. All right. Just want to bring again to your attention the connection cards. Great place to communicate, especially prayer requests, praises. There's a back out in the foyer. You can drop that off on your way. Feel free to, you know, draw on it if you want. If you get bored with the message, you can draw on it and give you something to do. Just don't make paper airplanes and throw them at me. All right. What's that? Oh, great. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Beautiful morning out there. Thank you for just your provision. And as Dean said, just your creation is pretty amazing. See things like Yellowstone and different places and just marvel at those things. The variety of animals, the different people, it can't happen by chance. It just can't. And so we praise you and give you all the honor and the glory for who you are. You are God. You are creator. You are our creator. And just thank you. I too ask that your spirit would just move here in our midst this morning. Just remind us of what maybe we already know. Help us to have understanding of what we need to know. Help us to have that emotion of loving you and just wanting to be with you completely. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking as that last song we were singing, you know, how many of us would truly be content and satisfied with just Jesus, sitting in a jail cell somewhere with just Jesus. All your stuff is gone and you just have Jesus. I was thinking of Job as they were playing that song too. You think about what Job went through. I mean, gone, everything, absolutely everything was gone except his nagging wife. Insult to injury. Yet she went through all that with him too. You know, and absolutely everything taken away. And would we still praise God? Would we still be content? Amen. So that's free. So we are looking at how to be Christ's soldiers. Seven steps. We're on step number six today. But just by way of review, So step number one was sign up, thinking kind of in military terms. You know, you need to go into the recruiting office. You need to sign up. For us as believers, how that relates is accepting Jesus as Savior. That's how we sign up. And then knowing along with that comes the expectation of obedience, the expectation that there's some difficulty will come with that, but knowing ultimately that we have victory, that we have victory. Number two is that we need to show up. We need to show up. That's the training phase, working together as the body of Christ, supporting one another, being part of the body, being part of a local church. Number three is we need to shape up. We need to shape up. We need to be spiritually fit. And the way we become spiritually fit is by reading our Bible, by prayer time, spending time with God, taking what we read and applying what God's told us, applying that, and then also relationships. Having relationships with other believers helps us to mature, and that's a progressive process. You're never going to attain total maturity here in this life. It's just not going to happen. But that's still the goal. We still want to press on. As Paul said, I keep pressing ahead. Number four is we need to suit up. We need to suit up. In Ephesians, we see the armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, sandals of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and prayer is part of that armor. We need to clothe ourselves with the full armor of God so that we may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, not of other people, of the devil. We need to realize that is where our true enemy is, those spiritual forces. And then last week, number five, we looked at stand up. We need to be prepared. We need to be putting on that suit of armor, all of it, not just pieces of it, but all of it. And that we then need to stand for the truth. We need to stand for one another. We need to stand against evil. But we also saw there's times where we need to flee. 1 Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy says, you need to flee immorality. You need to flee idolatry. You need to flee youthful lusts, and you need to flee bad doctrine. There's a lot of bad doctrine floating around, and it always has. Ever since the beginning of time, there's been bad doctrine. It happened in the Garden of Eden. That was bad doctrine. When Satan said to Eve, and she didn't go, no, wait a minute, that's not what God said. She believed the bad doctrine. Today we're looking at number six, speak up. Looking at Acts 5:20, kind of our base for the message this morning. Acts 5:20 says, go stand and speak to all the people in the temple the whole message of life. We need to stand and speak. Sometimes we need to stand and not speak. It's called the Church at Planned Parenthood. Have you heard of this? The Church at Planned Parenthood. You should check it out. So it was started by a pastor here in town, and what they do is they go to Planned Parenthood once a month. They're outside on the sidewalk, on the grassy area, and they have a church service. And it's on Planned Parenthood's side of the street, believe it or not. There's hundreds. In fact, it's a bad picture, but this is the picture of it. Those are the people that are there. There's been times that they said they think there's been up to 400 people. They don't say anything against Planned Parenthood. They're not there protesting abortion. They literally just have a church service. So there's music. There's a message. So sometimes you can just stand. I mean, they're standing with one another. They're not all preaching the gospel. They're not all saying abortion is wrong. They're standing together. I started looking at some different things, and I'd heard some of this. I'm always marvel at how God orchestrates my week sometimes, and the stuff I hear on the radio and different things I get, you know, email. So this week they were talking about prayer, when they took prayer out of school, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, Roe versus Wade, and now we're dealing with this gender issue is kind of the forefront of things. The sex education, which plugs right into the gender thing, I mean, that's a lot of the focus. So I did some research wanting to look at, okay, so prayer in school, you know, we always heard that, okay, they took God out of the school, they took prayer out of school, and that was the beginning of the end. Well, the beginning of the end started way before that, but anyway. So I went and looked at this. So I looked at, this is a Supreme Court. So this is Justice Hugo Black. He wrote this opinion. It says, the constitutional prohibition against laws respecting an establishment of religion must at least mean that, in this country, it is in no part of the business of the government to compose official prayers for any group of the American people to recite as part of a religious program carried on by the government. This is what the lawsuit was about. Only Justice Potter Stewart dissented, said the court did not find prayer in public schools unconstitutional, but that it was unconstitutional for the government to include a particular prayer in a school program, because that's what was happening. There was a set prayer that this school district was supposed to be praying, and of course, they took them to court. Well, the problem is, we human beings in our flesh like to take everything to extremes. So just because this came down, it didn't say you can't pray in school. What it said was, is the school can't give you the prayer to pray. And so then people, of course, they just blow it to extremes. But again, if maybe the church had stood up and said, okay, wait a minute, great, that's fine. We don't have to have this rote prayer, but we can still pray in school. There's nothing keeping us from doing that. I'm sure some of you probably before the test prayed in school, right? Whether you really believed in God or not, it was, oh, I didn't study, I need help with this test. 1973, Roe versus Wade, again. Supreme Court stepping in. And you know, the church wasn't completely silent, but maybe it didn't say enough. And now today we're dealing with this gender stuff. You know, and it's hard. It's hard because we don't want to be looked upon as the bad guy. I mean, that our human nature is, you know, I don't want us to think, you know, people to think bad of me. But sometimes we just need to stand and speak the truth. And a lot of times what happens is the other side is very intimidating. Very intimidating. We saw back, you know, in the first century when the apostles were preaching Jesus. The religious leaders tried to intimidate them. Acts 4:18 says, and when they had summoned them, so the council had summoned the apostles, they commanded them not to teach at all in the name of Jesus. So here's the religious authority of the day. And they're telling these guys, you need to quit talking about Jesus. In fact, it says in Acts 5:18, it says, they laid hands on them and put them in jail. So we're going to go beyond just telling them to be quiet. We're going to throw them in jail. Well, it didn't stop there. They went even farther. In verse 40, it says, after calling the apostles in, they flogged them. In other words, they beat them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. They were trying to intimidate them into silence. And that's what the enemy continues to do to us today. He wants to try to silence us. And there is a time to speak, and there is a time to be quiet, and we need the Holy Spirit to help us to discern that time and that place and how to say it and what to say. In Acts 4:20, their response was, "We can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard." Not only can't we stop speaking, we're not going to stop speaking. In 5:29, Peter responds and he says, "We must obey God rather than men. We realize you're the authorities, but God's a greater authority. And he's compelling us to speak." And that's one of the enemy's greatest weapons is silence, is trying to just, bully us into being silent. Sometimes we're lulled into a sense of silence. It's just like, okay, things are going along fine, and in reality, they're not. Or somebody might say to us, "Well, that's not very loving. That's not very gracious." It's interesting how sometimes the non-believers use those terms. It's just like, really? We saw Adam in the garden. He remained silent. In other words, he gave consent to what was going on. He didn't say what he should have said. He should have said, "That's bad doctrine. That is not what God said." But he chose to remain silent instead. Or maybe we're shamed into silence. The one, probably that we hear an awful lot is, "Well, that's very judgmental." Well, what do you mean? I mean, sometimes you just ask them the question. "Well, what do you mean by that? Why is this judgmental?" "Well, da 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 da." "Well, wait a minute. Aren't you judging me?" There's an awful lot of double standard. Because it goes both ways here. Matthew 7, 1 and 5, it says, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged." And sometimes, they'll even say that. I mean, they know scripture sometimes, and they'll use these ones, a lot of times out of context. Verse 5 says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." It doesn't say to not take the speck out, to not judge, to not be discerning. It says deal with yourself first, then help your brother. Hebrews 5:14 says, "Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Remember where our battle lies. It's not with that person. It's with those spiritual forces that are having the influence on that person. Our standard is God's word, and we need to stand on it. And when we speak the truth, we need to be saying, "This is what God's word says. And you can say whatever against me, but I'm not saying it. This is not my opinion. I'll tell you when it's my opinion. This is not my opinion. This is God's word. This is what it says." Of course, they don't believe in God. So for them, that's not the standard. But yet, that's what we have to rely on. And not get into that battle of words and start saying what we think. We need to say what we know. And we need to say what God's word says. They use fear. They use fear. They want to make us afraid of whatever. Oh, someone won't like me, or they'll say bad things, or, whatever it is, using a tactic of fear. Oh, you're just one of those weird, self-righteous, religious fanatics. Yes, I am. Well, not the self-righteous part, but. I found it interesting that, Jesus, he's arrested, He basically is put on trial. No one spoke up for him. No one. What happened to all those people that were standing alongside the road hollering, "Hosanna"? The branch of David is coming in. The king is coming. Hosanna to Jesus. Praise God. The Messiah is finally here. And then he gets arrested and goes before Pilate and before the religious leaders, and there is no one who comes to his defense. What happened to all those people? They were afraid. The religious leaders had a lot of authority. They could affect your life. Or maybe we'll just say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Well, God will help you with that. 1 Peter 3, or 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17 says, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what's good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ in your heart." In other words, set it apart. "Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which they slander, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right than for doing what's wrong." Matthew 10. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, because he knows what's coming. He says, "But when they hand you over," which is exactly what was happening in Acts, he said, "don't worry about what you are to say, for it will be given you at that hour what you need to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." That's why we have to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to immerse ourselves and be students of God's Word, so that when we're put in a tight situation, the Holy Spirit, bless you, the Holy Spirit can bring to our mind, remember, here's what God's Word says. Here's what you've seen. Here's what you've witnessed. That's what you speak. You don't have to make stuff up. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology, because more than likely they're not going to agree with it anyway. But you just need to speak as the Holy Spirit gives you direction. One of the classes that we've done here a couple times now is called Tactics by Greg Kuchel. And on your handout, there's actually his website. There was a really good thing this week, again, the way God worked it out. He wrote a letter to his school board about this sex education thing that's basically going across the whole country. So he just wrote him a letter and said, "You know, here's what I think and here's what I see." And, you know, did just a one page, did a really good job. He wasn't going to be in town, so, you know, he had somebody take it and read it. But one of the things that he pointed out to them was, again, you know, the double standard. You know, a double standard of, well, you want to bend over backwards and do this for them, but when it comes to the Christians, it's like, no, you guys are, get out of here. We, you know, you're a bunch of weirdos. You know, they're so afraid. And, of course, the school districts, they become intimidated and so afraid that someone's going to sue them that they do. Really, I mean, they have the legal rights to do certain things, and they're afraid to do it because they're going to get sued. And the thing that we really need to make sure that we're speaking is the gospel. We're speaking the truth of the gospel, that there is good news, that Jesus came to save people from sin. Speaking the truth. We see also with Jesus, though, that there might be a time to be quiet. There might be a time to realize that, you know, maybe I've said all I can say, and there's nothing more I'm going to do to convince them. And that's some of what Jesus ran into. In Mark 14, excuse me. Oh, and we need to back up. Sorry, I missed some stuff here. So speaking the gospel. So Romans 10, 13 through 15. This is important. It says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher or someone telling them? And how will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. The sandals of peace. The sandals of the good news. Someone has to go tell them. Someone has to go tell them. That's where missionaries come in for a lot of, you know, other places, is someone has to go tell them. You know, there are places, in fact, you know, even in our country, there are places where people don't even know who Jesus is. They may not have ever even heard the name, actually. You know, I can remember, not lately, but hearing, you know, in Awana, you know, the leaders talking about Jesus and the kids are just like, who's that? Never heard of him. Or talking about Christmas. Well, you guys know what Christmas is about, right? Oh, yeah, Santa Claus. And da-da-da. No, it's Jesus' birth. What? They've never heard it, even here. So we need to make sure that we're speaking that. The gospel. What's the gospel about? Who's Jesus? Why did he come? What's that all about? Okay, now we can move to the next one. Time to be quiet. We see actually Jesus being quiet. So in Mark 14, starting in verse 59, so Jesus is on trial. He goes before Pilate. He goes before the religious council. Starting in verse 60, says, now the high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus. So what's been happening is there's been testimony against Jesus. So this is what's happened. It says in verse 59, it says, their testimony was inconsistent. So it's very obvious, or it should be very obvious, to the leaders here that, okay, this, you know, these people don't know what they're talking about. So then they address Jesus. And they say to Jesus, okay, all these people, they brought this testimony. And he says, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He didn't address the accusations. What he told them was, here's what the truth is. Yes, that is who I am. So whatever all these other people are saying, I'm not even going to answer that because it's obvious they don't even know what they're talking about. But we need to be very discerning in knowing when to be quiet and when to speak. There's some personalities that is really hard because we want to convince that person. And we're doing it for good. Okay, I want to convince them that Jesus is the truth. And we just keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. And they're just like, whatever. They'll come back with whatever. Jesus actually addressed this in Matthew 7:6. You may be familiar with this and wondered what in the heck is he talking about. It says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, for they will trample them under their feet and turn and rend you to pieces." He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about the good news. That there's a point when you just need to say, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I've done all I can do. I planted the seed, or maybe I put a little water on it, and that's all I can do. And not continue to have those battle of words. So even if you can't refute their claims, you can give testimony in your life of what God's done for you. They can't refute that. They can't say, "Well, no, that didn't happen." Well, yeah, it did. I experienced it. And that's what being a witness is. It's just saying, here's what I saw, here's what I experienced, here's what I know. And sometimes then you just need to leave it at that and let God work. One of the, in this tactics class that we went through, you ask a lot of questions. Just you ask them about, well, why do you believe that? Well, why do you, and sincerely, I mean, not just, you know, to make an argument, but sincerely, okay, so you say you believe this. Well, why is that? How did you get to that place? One of the examples he used was coming across this gal that was a witch, and somehow they got on this thing about abortion, and she didn't believe in abortion herself personally, and so, but he would keep asking her questions. Well, okay, so why do you believe this? Why do you think that's true? So if you believe that's wrong and that's a human being, then why would you not say something against it? It just kind of just kept asking her questions. She didn't get saved at the time, but it got her thinking. What he calls it is putting a stone in their shoe. Giving them something that they'll, you know, kind of keep thinking about along the way. So I highly recommend the website. You can go on there and look at some of his stuff, listen to some of his things. You know, he's an apologist, but he does it in such a simple, really a simple way, and a lot of it's just asking questions. You know, you're having that conversation with somebody. Rather than trying to argue them into heaven, you just start asking them, well, why do you believe what you believe? And have them basically prove what they believe. Because a lot of times they want us to prove, well, you can't prove that God exists. Really? Look outside. Oh, my gosh. How can you even fathom the intricacies of this universe and think it just happened. It just happened. I saw a thing this week that was 110 light years away, and they're saying there's water on this planet. And I'm thinking, how do they know that? I mean, I'm sure there's some scientific whatever, but still, try to even wrap your mind around 110 light years. So one light year is ridiculous to think about how far it is. It's 110 light years. And they're saying, oh, yeah, we see this thing out there and it has water. So you know where that's going, right? There's the possibility there could be life there. Anyway, those are some of the things, you know, that I hear that stuff. And I'm sure from a scientific standpoint, there's something they're doing to maybe figure that out. But still, I'm thinking there's probably more theory to that. So, you realize evolution is still a theory, right? even though it's kind of taught as fact, it's a theory. It's not been proven. So we just need to remember there's times when we do need to speak up, and there's times that we need to be quiet. And really that comes from just being in tune with the Holy Spirit, you know, not allowing the enemy to intimidate us, to make us fearful, you know, to use that term of, you know, well, you're just too judgmental. You know, don't allow the enemy to beat you down with that stuff, because it's a lie. It's a lie. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word, that it is the truth, and that we can base our lives on it, that we can know for certain that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he was your son. He was human, and he was God at the same time. He came to this earth to be the perfect sacrifice for us, to die for our sin. We had the death penalty of sin on us, and he came and he paid that penalty for us. That's the good news. And he rose again. He didn't just die and end up in the grave. He rose again. He was here on this earth again. He is now sitting at the right hand of the Father saying, really? The job is done. Yes, there's going to be some other things that transpire, but the job is done. Oh, Father, help us to live in such a way that people see that they hear that from us, that it just exudes from us, that we can be bold in our belief, we can be bold in our witness, that we don't have to try to argue somebody into heaven, because more than likely, we're not. But you know what? We can put that stone in their shoe. We can have those conversations with gentleness and with reverence to try to sway them in a direction. Father, I thank you for all those here today. I pray that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that they would see you moving this week, that they would be looking for ways to live for you, to tell people about you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a few announcements here. So we're in desperate need of a PowerPoint person for second service. So if that's something that you think you might be able to do, minimum to just even do it for just the music, because I think probably I can figure out how to use this thing, maybe. So you wouldn't have to be here, you know, if you're here first service and could do that, you wouldn't have to be here for the whole service. So you can talk to Lynn about that if you're able to do that. Men's Bible study is going to be starting back up again September 30. You can see Bill Stewart about that, and his number's also there if you have questions about that. And the women's Bible study, there's a sign-up sheet. Do you have a date when you're starting yet? Okay, so September 26th, Thursday here at the church, and there's a sign-up sheet out there. There's a book that goes with it, and you can also talk to Leanna if you need more information on that. And let's see, what else do we have? Still could use some people for Awana. Come hang out with the kids. You don't have to know theology, you know, so. Yeah. Some of them are smarter than we are, so there you go. And then make a trek downstairs. The floor in the fellowship hall is done, and it is very shiny. So it looks awesome. It is so nice to have it all be the same. So go down, take a look at that. All right, so God bless you all. Have a great week.